أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've now reached the 18th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, and in our series of living the Quran through the living Quran, where we analyze verses that have a direct import into our day-to-day lives. Today our topic is keeping away from sins of the flesh. Now before we go to the verse, we know that we live in a highly over-sexualized society today, where sexuality, and more specifically, scantily clad people, most often women, are used to sell everything from, detergent to makeup to cars in certain in certain cases. We are surrounded by sexuality. We're surrounded by on the internet, on television, in public. Laws, as we know, are passed in many countries permitting certain actions which are obviously not permissible, not allowed in Islam or in any of the world, divinely world religions. And how do we deal with this when we live in this kind of a society where we are surrounded by all these temptations on a regular basis? Well, before we go into the discussion further, let us look at the verse of the Quran that we want to deliberate upon today in this blessed month of Ramadan.
ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا.
And keep away from adultery and fornication. Surely it is an abominable act and an extremely evil practice. Without a doubt, one of the most severe sins which have been spoken about in the Noble Quran is that of illicit sexual relationships. In fact, this is an issue which not only affects the individual first and foremost, it has repercussions on their soul in this world and in the world to come. Obviously, it also has massive issues in terms of the society, and as an example, illegitimate children being brought into this world, not knowing who their parents are. And obviously, it has a great impact on the family as well, especially if it happens within the time of a marriage when the husband or the wife, God forbid, were to engage in inappropriate sexual relationships with somebody else while they're married. In fact, actually, when we look in the Quran and we look at the sins which God talks about and the ones at the level of the greatest problem, we can say, there are really four of the major sins that God mentions, and they're equal at one level. One of them is polytheism. Shirk, associating partners with God. One of them is killing an innocent person to engage in murder. The third is what we're looking at today, sexual impropriety. And the fourth is theft, of stealing the possessions which do not belong to you. So God actually puts these four sins at the same level of the severity. And as we know, there is a gradation in sins, and these four are the most deadly of the sins that are within the Quran and within the religious teachings of Islam. Look, when we look at this topic of sins of the flesh, we realize that we live in a society, or many of us at least live in a society, where these things are not non-issues. People openly engage in it, they talk about it. People who work in whatever sector, it's sometimes bragged about. But we have to realize that as a Muslim, our criteria for right and wrong is not what society does or says. Our criteria is not what the secular system will tell us is allowed or not allowed. Our criterion should always be the Quran. And that is why the Quran is called Al-Furqan, because it distinguishes between truth and falsehood. And Quran is truth, Islam is the truth. The teachings of Islam, whether they may seem archaic to secular minds, are the truth, and anything other than that is what we would deem to be false, would be illegitimate, would be not what we as Muslims would take to be our goal in life to follow or to understand or to implement. And even this issues of sexuality, of adultery, of sexual impropriety, even if society looks upon it in a favorable fashion, as Muslims we regard it as a major sin. And we're not It's because of the fact that there are many outcomes. It's not just because, yes, it is because the Quran mentions it, but if we're looking for practical rationale why this sin is so problematic, we just have to look at society on a whole. We see so many problems. You know, you have examples when people engage in relationships out of marriage and out of anger. Somebody is killed, somebody's murdered in this sort of revenge act. There are children that are born brought into the world and who are illegitimate children who have no idea who their parents are, who their father is, who their mother is. And many times these children from, not all the time, but in some occasions, children from broken homes end up not on the right side of the law. Again, not as a universal rule, but there are obviously exceptions. But you look at the statistics and you see the numbers of people who are in jail and so on and so forth, and you trace the roots back, and many times you will see that they came from broken families, they came from not knowing who their birth father was, as an example. Many diseases and illnesses are spread through this as well. So there are many, many reasons why one would not want to engage in sexual relations outside of marriage. You know, other than the Quran telling us that this is an evil indecency, that this is a sin, that this is a major grave sin within the religion of Islam. So how do we really respond to it? How do we control this epidemic or this problem even within a society when people are free to do as they wish and to have partners as they wish outside of the legal bonds of marriage? Well, as Muslims, we know that God has implemented many teachings within the Quran and within the tradition of the Prophet and his successors to control this particular aspect. Now, first and foremost, we realize that God put the power of sexual desire within us and expects us to utilize it in the permissible way. And so he's allowed us to get married. And as Muslims, we know we have two different forms of marriage. We have a permanent marriage, and we have, if we want to call it, a temporary marriage. This is one way that God ensured that we are not drawn to sin and temptation by allowing us a legal opportunity to allow this need of the human being to be fulfilled. On the other end of the equation, he has ensured that we are kept in control. And so we know that it is not permissible, it is forbidden in Islam for a man and a woman who are not related by blood or marriage, for example, just a regular random boy and girl, to be secluded together in a room where nobody else has access to that. That's one level of what Islam has brought forth. We're also told that it's not permissible for a man and a woman who are not either related by marriage or blood to have physical contact. So no hugs between, boys and girls at school, no handshake even. You go to the bank, you go to the store, you go for a job interview. Handshakes between men and women are impermissible. This is known by all of our scholars. This is the legal ruling all of our scholars give. Even when, we look at even social media and our young men and women, and even older men and women for that matter, because adultery and sexual impropriety doesn't know any age. It can be an 18-year-old or a 50-year-old man or woman. We're told that even when we look at social media and interaction, that we should not be talking to the opposite gender just about, trivial things. Yes, if you have a project, you have a assignment, you're at work colleagues, yes, you can talk. But for a guy and a girl to be flirting with one another on whatever social media platform you're on, sharing videos, sharing photos, stories, jokes, this and that, this is all impermissible, and it has the potential to lead us to greater sins, including what we've been looking at of the sins of the flesh. And so as we close this blessed day of the month of Ramadan, let us realize that God has put these teachings in place not to limit you and I, not to curtail our freedom, so to speak, but to ensure that we can grow a healthy family, a healthy community, a vibrant society where we all have respect for one another. We all also obey the limit, maintain the limits and the boundaries that God has given to us within the ways of interaction with people, of members of the opposite gender. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.